Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on Christian Sentinel Radio, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. And that's the network of our sister Jackie Alnor. And there's different broadcasters there. They have different broadcasts every day, so you might enjoy that network too. And then my friend the Wolf Tracker, he has a Bible school, and you can find that on Daily Manna from Heaven. And that's a great course talking about also the church as a plantation, where they hold people in bondage there, and they basically hold people in slavery with their false doctrines and their greed. So we need a reformation. we need a reformation. We really do. But I think there's so many wonderful people of God out there that want to see a change, and they don't really like what they're seeing. And so there's many different avenues for people to have radio broadcasts on the internet for as long as they let us have these. And then, of course, there's the video channels that people can still use. Of course, there's many people that are being censored on some of these channels, and you can't say what you want to say, but there's alternatives too. So we have to preach the gospel in any way that we can, and everybody can play a part in telling people the good news of the gospel. We all have to do something for the Lord, whether it's big or small, and it always doesn't require big budgets like these people like to tell you, like we're going to talk about today, Guillermo Maldonado and his tactics and how he's building his little kingdom. And he builds it off the backs of these poor people that are there on at his church plantation there in Miami. And you could see some of the videos from his, I wouldn't even call it a church, really. It's a fleecing center is what it is for Maldonado to acquire wealth. And this is how I look at it as far as how God provides your needs. And it's not because you sow seeds and because you tithe and you do all those things, so then God's required to bless you back. That's what they try to tell you. But any good pastor, he's going to live by faith too. He's not going to live off 10% of people's income. If he's going to tell you that you have to trust God to meet your needs, then he has to trust God to meet his needs. So that's the way it has to be. There's nothing wrong with a church taking up offerings and telling you that we need money to pay the rent or to pay the mortgage or to pay the pastor's salary and to pay the bills. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't use people for your greed and lie to people about giving, because the Bible says that we have to practice the royal law of love. And so you say to yourself, well, what's the royal law of love? Well, James 2:8 says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. And if you're in a church where they don't practice the royal law of love, they just practice the royal law of loving the pastor and loving his vision, and that's all, it just becomes a plantation. But also, let's look at another scripture here. Mark 12. And Mark 12, and you can start at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, they're asking Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So then this is very appropriate for what we're talking about. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all thy heart, and with all thy understanding, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's what he said. So these people like to tell you, like Maldonado, and then he loves to have Paula White over there, and then he's got this kooky guy that calls himself Prophet Tracy Cook. They like to tell you that you have to sacrifice, and you have to give these burnt offerings, and you have to give these offerings, and that's the way you get God to do things for you. But that isn't the way you get God to do things for you. You have to love your neighbor, and you have to do things because you love people, and not because you want something back. That's not Christianity. It's a false Christianity. And that's how they enslave people. They have these poor people there. And you could see them there at Maldonado's church. Whenever they're manipulating them to give an offering, these poor people are flocking up there with their checkbooks. And they're just hoping and they're just begging God to look upon them and to see their burnt offering and to see their sacrifice, and that somehow God is going to reward them because they're giving money to Maldonado, because God's not getting it. And that's another thing. The pastor has to tell you the truth. God's not getting the money. What is he going to do with it? He doesn't need it. The pastors have to tell you the truth, that the money is going toward the church, the operation of the church, it's going to missions or whatever. They should tell you the truth, that we give, if you love this church, then give. If there's somebody in the church that has a need, give. Now, I was in a big church one time, and this is a prime example of the church plantation thinking and how people are so bound up that they can't think for themselves, because they have to give 10% to the church. And to be a member of this church, you had to sign this agreement that you would give 10%. Otherwise, you couldn't have a membership. And they do that, too. So that's another form of slavery. And so whether you want to give from your heart or not, you can't. You have to, if you want to be a member, you have to give this 10%. So nobody could think for themselves there. And if somebody was sitting next to them and had a need, they wouldn't even, they kind of turn their nose up at it, because they were already giving 10%, and then the pastor was making them sow seeds on the top of that. And so I remember there was this family at the church, and it was a single father. The mother left the children. He had three children he had to take care of. And they were living on the church grounds there in a mobile home, him and his three children. And he was doing audio work, or he was doing some kind of work there around the church to try to support his family. And he didn't have a telephone in his house. This was back in the 90s, 1995. So imagine that here's a man with three children that he's trying to raise, and he's barely getting by, and people are flocking up there to give Mike Murdoch money, and they're flocking up there to give the pastor money, and they're flocking up there to give whoever else was coming through there, whatever else money grabber was coming through. But here's a man who doesn't have a telephone because he couldn't afford it. And so you think, I'm thinking to myself, why isn't anybody helping this man? Because, wow, we're supposed to be these love Christians and these faith Christians, and yet nobody could see that there was people in the congregation that had legitimate needs, not because he was lazy and he wouldn't work, or he was looking for a handout, because he wasn't. But for the most part, the people in the churches can't think for themselves because they're so brainwashed and conditioned to think that they have to go to the building on Sunday and they have to support the vision that's being presented to them for the pastor to buy a big jet. Like Maldonado has a Falcon 50 jet, and you can look it up on the internet and see it's a pretty nice jet, and it's probably worth $1 million, I would say. It's an older jet, it's not a brand new one. But to maintain these jets, and then he has to have a pilot also to fly him around, unless he's a pilot. I don't know that he's a pilot, but you have to have a pilot, and then you usually have to have a co-pilot in case something happens, and then you have to have a hangar, and then you have to do maintenance, and then of course fuel is very expensive. So that's part of the way Maldonado spends his money there at the church. He gets to fly around in the jet, and there's probably some people there at his church that take the bus to church, or they ride their bicycle or their motorcycle or whatever. But yet, he's got them so conditioned there. It's really sad. I could hardly bear to look at the videos of these poor people running up to the front, waving their checks, and hoping that they were going to get the miracle that they needed. Well, I could tell you one absolute way that you can get a miracle in your finances, and that's to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work, you're not going to accumulate wealth. You're not going to accumulate money. You're going to have debts coming out of your eyeballs. And then they tell people, of course, that you have debts, no worry. Just give me some money, and you can get debt cancellation. Yeah, God's going to steal from the people that you owe money to. This is what they tell you, basically, is that God's going to steal from the people you owe money to, and you don't have to pay them back. You're going to get debt cancellation, supernatural debt cancellation, and all you have to do is run up here and give us money. When is it going to stop? When is it going to stop? As soon as people stop going to these places and supporting these places, I can't believe that these things go on. I can't even believe that these things still go on and people still participate in this foolishness. Jesus Christ set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So don't go back into slavery and bondage, and go back to the plantation where they have you, where you can't think for yourself, you can't do anything for yourself. The pastor is basically the slave master, and that's how it is in most of these places. Plain and simple English. I don't have any other way to describe it. It's bondage. Bondage that you have to be so pitiful standing there waving checks at God and trusting these cult leaders. And that's how it is. I was watching a couple of programs this week, and some of them, it just gets to you because You can't believe the cruelty of other people, to how they treat other people and how they manipulate other people just for their own gain. And this one cult leader, he was actually branding women with a branding iron, branding them with his brand on their stomachs. And they were allowing it to happen because they wanted to be part of the group. That's how worn down they were, where they couldn't think for themselves, and they would actually allow somebody to burn them. Oh, thank God this guy at least wound up in jail after it was over. And some of these people managed to escape from this cult and start to think for themselves. But if you're going to a church where they tell you that you're stealing from God if you don't give us money, and they have all these manipulative techniques, you need to get out of there and run for your life as far away as you can. Because I've seen this happen in Word of Faith churches, because I was part of the Word of Faith movement for about 15 years and had been to many, many different ministries and saw all kinds of things that went on with the offerings. And some people wound up broke. They wound up with nothing. They wound up giving everything away to the pastor or to Morris Cirillo or to one of these, somebody else. And they wound up homeless. They wound up without a car. I saw it happen. I knew people it happened to. You think they cared about, you think that Morris Cirillo cared when a friend of mine gave him their house, and this was a married man with three children, and then he had no house. He was living in a studio apartment after that. You think Morris Cirillo cared? No. No, Morris Cirillo didn't care. No. He didn't care about them. And Mike Murdoch didn't care. I knew, heard of a story where this woman had given all her money to Mike Murdoch, and then she was living on a street corner near his ministry. You think he cared? When people saw her there living on a street corner, and she was still trying to follow Mike Murdoch. Still trying to follow Mike Murdoch. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Anyway, well, there was quite a few things in the news today. I want to play a couple of these audios before I get into more about Maldonado. In case you happen to listen to me, Guillermo, repent. Repent, because you're already in trouble. You've already made the news with this divorce filing that your wife of over 30 years has filed a divorce decree against you. And she's also making accusations that you misused church funds. So expect it to get ugly. Expect it to get ugly. When it starts getting ugly like this, you know that the handwriting's on the wall there for Guillermo Maldonado, who's worth, according to the Miami Herald and to the court documents that were filed by his wife, that he has an estimated worth of $120 million. Oh, he has a net worth of $120 million. And how do you think he got that money? Well, they say he wrote 50 books. 50 books? I don't think so. But anyway, they claim he wrote 50 books. And so maybe he got some money from book sales, but I guarantee you that he got most of his money through tithes. And that's not where the tithes are supposed to go. That's not where the tithe money is supposed to go. But it's very lucrative. It's very lucrative, this whole thing. And anyway, there's no tithing in the New Testament, and the only tithing in the Old Testament was never money. And so I see people arguing with my friend Ron Roby all the time about tithing. If you want to tithe, tithe, knock yourself out, but you're not required to tithe. And so don't let people lie to you about that. You don't have to tithe, but anybody that's a Christian, from the first time I got saved, I knew I wanted to help people, and I knew I wanted to be a giver. I knew that automatically. So usually Christians know that automatically, that they like helping people and they like giving to people. I don't need anybody beating me over the head about it and promising me the world if I give 10% to them. But anyway, there's a couple interesting things in the news this week. Now, do you think that the world could get any crazier than it already is? I don't think so. I heard some things this week that I could just shake my head and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and get us out of this mess. Because all of a sudden now, nobody else's rights matter. The rights that matter are the rights of the transgender people. Their rights matter more than anybody else's. And here's one example. Now, I don't know if you heard about this week. Now, I'm old, so I've been around for a long time. And I played with Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head when I was a child. I remember I had that, and we used to stick things in a potato and make a face and whatever. So we played. And I didn't even know what a homosexual was until I was probably in my late teens. Nobody ever told me about it. I never heard about it. And, of course, nobody talked about it on television much. You didn't have that much television back in the 50s and 60s when I was growing up. So I didn't even know what it was. And I never thought about it. So I don't know how they would think that children even really think about what gender they are unless somebody tells them. Now you can't call a girl or a boy. They have to make up their own mind what gender they want to be, or that's what they're telling you. But from what I remember of being a child, I never thought about those kind of things. I didn't even know about those kind of things as far as transgender or homosexuality, but now everybody has to know about it. And now children have to make decisions about whether they want to be a boy or a girl. So here's a news story about Mr. Potato Head.
Now has a gender-neutral name, and this morning, as you mentioned, the reaction is pouring in. Deborah Roberts joins us now with more on this. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Cecilia. Hasbro is joining a list of companies that are now rebranding products in an effort to be more inclusive. But when it comes to beloved toys, it doesn't always go over so well with the public. While some are applauding these efforts to make Mr. Potato Head more welcoming, others see it as overkill in an age of political correctness.
I need you.
He's been a regular on the toy shelf for nearly 70 years. Back in the 50s, families had to supply their own potato.
Okay, fellas, let's roll.
Later, he and Mrs. Potato Head had audiences laughing their pants off in our parent company Disney's Toy Story movies.
Mr. and Mrs., you gotta keep them together because they're madly in love.
But sprouting up this fall, get ready for simply Potato Head, the Hasbro company rebranding with a gender-neutral name, set to release a create-your-own Potato Head family set. That'll include two large potato bodies, a small child potato, and 42 different accessories, which will allow children to mix and match and create the family structure they want.
We will always have our fantastic Mr. Potato Head from 1952, and it was a great, great toy. But right now, looking forward, this is a fantastic option for a more diverse community of children and a more diverse society.
The change following similar moves with other brands, like Barbie, now coming in a range of skin tones and body types, As for Hasbro, the company taking pains to assure Potato Head fans that the product isn't completely changing. Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head aren't going anywhere.
Now, you can imagine that this rebranding set off a lot of heated exchanges on social media, much of it political, many people saying this is all about cancel culture, others having fun with potato, potato. But clearly, the Hasbro company trying to walk a line here, and so far, not effective.
I'm trying to figure out now, what child is thinking when they play with Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, whether they should be gender neutral. These people are crazy. Anyway, cancel Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. That's the end. Now, here's the crazy. Of course, we know that California is the land of fruits and nuts, and all kinds of flaky things come out of California. Now, here's something out of California.
For gender-neutral toy and clothing aisles at children's stores. KSBY News reporter Alice Becerra spoke with several local parents and now has their reactions. Megan, some parents say they disagree with Assembly Bill 2826 because they want their children to be able to shop in separate sections, while other parents say they actually find the bill to be very efficient.
A new bill in the California Assembly has gained the attention of many parents across the Central Coast. Assembly Bill 2826 would require retailers in California to create gender-neutral aisles for children's merchandise. The bill would apply to children's clothing, toys, and child care items. Some, like Candace Miller, say the bill would raise many questions in the religious community.
And we, you know, want to raise our daughter to know that she is a girl. That's how she was born. That's how she will live. And our sons, that they were born boys. And I want my daughter to dress like a girl, and I want my boys to dress like boys. And I want those sections to be separated.
Others disagree and think the proposed bill can actually be efficient.
As a mom of two toddlers, if I had a boy and a girl, having it centralized that I don't have to run around a store, I think it would be a great idea.
The bill proposed by Democratic Assemblyman Evan Lowe requires all retail department stores with 500 employees or more to comply. The bill states that keeping similar items that are traditionally marketed either for girls or for boys separated makes it more difficult for the consumer to compare the products and incorrectly implies that their use by one gender is inappropriate. Any retailer who fails to comply could face a civil penalty of $1,000 if they fail to correct a violation within 30 days. Others say they see how the bill can prompt some tough conversations.
So I certainly want everyone to be comfortable when they walk into to whatever store, but to just completely kind of do away with words that are very real seems a little silly to me.
Assembly Bill 2826 is due to be heard this month. In San Luis Obispo, I'm Alice Becerra, KSBY News.
If the bill passes, retailers who don't comply could be fined beginning January 1st, 2023.
Oh, that's very important that you have gender-neutral aisles, clothing aisles at the store. You can't have a section for girls and you can't have a section for boys, just in case your three-year-old doesn't know what sex they are. Oh. It can't get any more insane. It can't get any more insane. Now here's a great exchange. And Rand Paul received a lot of criticism for this exchange, but it makes so much sense. And he's talking to this Dr. Rachel Levine, who isn't Rachel. Rachel is really a man dressed up as a woman who I mean, talk about confused, okay? Talk about confused. Very confused person who Biden has nominated for a cabinet position. Here's an exchange with Rand Paul and Dr. Rachel Levine, who's a man dressed up as a woman.
Personally condemned. Genital mutilation has been condemned by the WHO, the United Nations Children's Fund, the United Nations Population Fund. According to the WHO, genital mutilation is recognized internationally as a violation of human rights. Genital mutilation is considered particularly egregious because, as the WHO notes, it is nearly always carried out on minors and is a violation of the rights of children. Most genital mutilation is not typically performed by force, But as WHO notes that by social convention, social norm, the social pressure to conform, to do what others do and have been doing, as well as the need to be accepted socially and the fear of being rejected by the community, American culture is now normalizing the idea that minors can be given hormones to prevent their biological development of their secondary sexual characteristics. Dr. Levine, you have supported both allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I will look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
The specific question was about minors. Let's be a little more specific since you evaded the question. Do you support the government intervening to override the parents' consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and/or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia? You have said that you're willing to accelerate the protocols for street kids. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through this and allow that to happen to a minor. I would hope that you would have compassion for Kira Bell, who's a 23-year-old girl who was confused with her identity. At 14, she read on the internet about something about transsexuals. She thought, well, maybe that's what I am. She ended up getting these puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. She had her breast amputated. But here's what ultimately she says now. And this is a very insightful decision from someone who made a mistake but was led to believe this was a good thing by the medical community. I made a brash decision as a teenager, as a lot of teenagers do, trying to find confidence and happiness, except now the rest of my life will be negatively affected, she said, adding that the medicalized gender transitioning was a very temporary, superficial fix for a very complex identity issue. What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we believe that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field, and if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question. The question is a very specific one. Should minors be making these momentous decisions? For most of the history of medicine, we wouldn't let you have a cut sewn up in the ER. But you're willing to let a minor take things that prevent their puberty, and you think they get that back? You give a woman testosterone enough that she grows a beard, you think she's going to go back looking like a woman when you stop the testosterone? You have permanently changed them. Infertility is another problem. None of these drugs have been approved for this. They're all being used off-label. I find it ironic that the left that went nuts over hydroxychloroquine being used possibly for COVID are not alarmed that these hormones are being used off-label. There's no long-term studies. We don't know what happens to them. We do know that there are dozens and dozens of people who've been through this who regret that this happened and a permanent change happened to them. And, you know, if you've ever been around children, 14-year-olds can't make this decision. In the gender dysphoria clinic in England, 10% of the kids are between the ages of 3 and 10. We should be outraged that someone's talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex. I can't vote for you if you can't.
Thank you so much, Senator Paul. Senator Levine, thank you for answering the question. I will turn to Senator Ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. It's insane. The whole thing. This is total insanity. And I'm sure there are people that struggle with these issues. And, of course, Jesus Christ is the answer. It's not going to have a sex change that's going to make you happy with your life. That's not going to make you ultimately give you peace and joy with your life. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you were born a male, you're a male. And if you're born a female, you're a female. And that's the way God made you. He didn't make any mistakes. But this kind of thing is insane. And then to make all these laws to accommodate these people when they don't even really make up that much of the population. And finally, this singer, Demi Lovato, she made the statement that you can't have a party to announce the gender reveal parties. You know, people have these gender reveal parties when they're going to have a baby. And they invite people over to their house and they have something to eat and then they reveal the gender of their baby. Well, she says you can't have those parties. You can't have gender reveal parties. No, that's homophobic, or it's not the right thing to do, because you have to let children make up their own minds about what gender they want to be. I'm so glad that when I grew up, I didn't have to think about all this. I never thought about those kind of things ever. I used to play with my dolls and play with my friends and talk to my parakeet and whatever, just have a normal childhood. I never thought about these kind of things. No, they don't want children to be normal and to enjoy their childhood. No, they have to think about what gender they are. That was the insane news of the week, but expect it to get even more insane as time goes on, because truly the patients are running the asylum, as they say. you can talk to people, and I have, that before they got saved, they went ahead and started having these sex changes, and they regretted it after. Some of them didn't go all the way with it. They started on the hormones, and some of the men were still very feminine from the hormones, but they were very grateful that they didn't go through with the whole thing, because they regretted it. And like I said, that's not going to make you happy in the end. It's not going to make you happy just because you're having psychological problems or whatever, and then you start mutilating your body. In the end, it's not going to give you the peace and joy that you want, because that only comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Any of us that have lived long enough and have had a relationship with Jesus know that He is the only way that we can get by in this life, because we can trust Him, we can rely on Him. He's there for us. When everybody else deserts you, He's going to be there. So I hope if anybody that's transgender or thinking about this kind of thing, is that you will turn your life over to Jesus and let Him give you what you're looking for, because He's the only one that can. You're just not going to get it any other way. But anyway, getting back to Maldonado, we'll let him talk first here about his pending divorce.
Anna has filed for divorce. I waited to share this news publicly because I was hoping and praying that we could reconcile. And, you know, despite the reason, defamatory and slanderous assertions made by others, I want to make it clearly that has never been an instance of infidelity, moral failure, or abuse of any kind in our marriage. Any accusation claiming otherwise are false. These claims are being spread in a blatant attempt to harm our ministry by slandering by my character. So I want publicly rebuke every lie that has been spoken about me, my family, and on my staff. In this ministry, I decree and declare what the book of Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, my friend and believers, we live in unprecedented times, dangerous times. I encourage you to guard your mind and your heart. Remain in the word. There's apostasy and deception going on right now. But the book of Jeremiah 23:29 tells us that the word of God is like a mighty hammer and is capable of destroying lies and attacks. We must remember that our battle is not against human beings, but it's against power and principalities of an unseen realm. And against those powers, we are fighting. We're taking the word of the sword of the Spirit like a hammer. If you're going through a difficult time right now, if you are experiencing an attack of the enemy over your life, you're not alone. Let me encourage you that God is fighting for you. Just stand. If you have done all, just stand. Pray, fast, humble yourself, repent, and then pray. God bless you. I love you.
Yeah, well, we're going to see what happens here because it looks like this divorce could get very nasty. His wife is named Anna. Now, it was first reported that he had a girlfriend. That was the first story that came out a few months ago when this divorce filing first hit the news. Of course, he's denying it. And there hasn't been anything else that's actually come out that I've seen about this accusation that he had a girlfriend. And then, according to the story in the Miami Herald, his wife, when she filed for the divorce, she didn't accuse him of adultery. But he is from Honduras, Guillermo Maldonado. But it says that you can see these divorce papers. I guess they were filed in Miami-Dade County. I didn't look them up, so I haven't looked at them. I don't know if they're there. I don't know if they're sealed, but it says here that Anna Maldonado doesn't accuse the pastor of infidelity. However, in his rants posted on the church's website, he denies ever cheating on her. Perhaps the infidelity defense is a smokescreen to avoid addressing the most damning issue, whether the pastor's personal and family wealth has been acquired through donations to a nonprofit tax-exempt organization. Anna Maldonado alleges that her husband has amassed a half dozen properties, at least three cars, and a nine-seat jet, which I already told you about, the Falcon 50, according to Miami-Dade County court records obtained by the Miami Herald reporter Bianca Ocasio. Anna Maldonado claims she doesn't know the extent of her husband's net worth. Well, she was enjoying it herself for many years. There may also be a possible boat and assets hidden in Italy, Honduras, and Colombia. In the divorce petition, her attorneys put a price tag on them of $120 million. $120 million? Keep those tithes and offerings coming in, let me tell you. Anna Maldonado, who calls herself a prophet, and she does, she's actually, yes, founded her own church after she left the King Jesus ministry. She calls herself Propheta, whatever, Anna. You know, she calls herself a prophetess. And she's started a church, Tabernacle, looks like Tabernacle of the Nations or something like that. Anyway, it's in Spanish, so I don't understand that whole title. But and delivers sermons in hotel conference rooms where many followers can be seen on live stream. Whatever, but Anna knows where some of the bodies are buried. Let me tell you. I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, don't take that literally. What I mean is she has enjoyed for many years the lifestyles of the rich and famous. Something happened in that marriage because they were married for over 30 years and she was enjoying the benefits of all those tithes and offerings that were coming in over there. Something happened. Don't let Guillermo try to whitewash this thing, because for her to turn on him like she did, something went down over there. And it's going to come out, because you see this whole thing. He's telling you that he's protected. No, you're not protected, because if you don't do the right thing in God's eyes and you abuse God's people, and you run your church like a plantation over there, God is not going to protect you. No. He's not going to protect you as far as exposing you, because God says that he gives you space to repent. He does. God is very merciful. He will talk to you and talk to you and talk to you about what you're doing wrong. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Yes, he does. And so if he's not convicting you of sin, then something's wrong. Either you're not saved, or you've become a reprobate. Something's wrong if God's not convicting you of sin. And so if he's not listening anymore, and the Bible says that your sin will find you out. So the wife, who knows the husband better than the wife usually? Of course, the husband can have things going on too that the wife doesn't know about. But for the most part, she's been throwing her hands up in the air, putting her hands through that money and throwing it up in the air and giggling like a fool when all those millions were coming in. She was sure enjoying it. I'm sure she was enjoying flying around on her Falconer 50 and living in her large houses with her maids and her servants and all the men and women of the church looking at her like she was special. And I'm sure she enjoyed all that. But something happened over there, and it's going to come out, because now you've got the attention of the press, and there'll be some nosy reporter or some nosy detective or somebody like that that's going to say, well, this is a good story, so let me get to the bottom of this. And Anna, the wife, she sounds like she is pretty mad about something, that she's willing to make these accusations against the poor, innocent Guillermo. Oh, I'm telling you, this guy is a pretty good con artist. He is pretty good. He's slick at what he does. He's very slick, and he's got a very large church, according to this Wikipedia article. He's got several locations, and it says he has a combined membership of 20,000. Of course, you can't believe all that, because Paula White always claimed that she had over 20,000 people at her church. I was there at the building. I even visited her church a couple times, not as a person that was going to hear her, because I wasn't. I was never interested in hearing her speak, because I thought she was one of the worst speakers, and I still do, that I ever heard. And so I was only going to kind of spy out the land to see what was going on over there. But the church didn't seat more than 4,000 or 5,000 people. The building wasn't big enough. I don't know how she ever had 20,000, 25,000 members. Like, she claims that they had the second largest church in the nation. I don't know how they did it unless they were having 4 or 5 services on a Sunday. And I don't think they ever had that. I just don't think they did that. But in an audio where I heard out of Randy's own mouth when he started telling the truth a little bit, which he doesn't do too much either, but he said that they, when they used to have these feeding events and these giveaways and people would come and register, that they would count those people as members even if they didn't attend the church. So, of course, Paul is not going to tell you that, because they like telling she likes telling everybody about having the second largest church in the nation. But if there's anybody out there that ever went to Without Walls Tampa and you want to contact me, I'd love to know how many people actually ever really attended there, especially somebody that worked for the ministry. I would be very curious, because I don't see how they did it unless, like I said, they were having 4 or 5 services on a Sunday to accommodate all their 20. And the number always goes up and down. Sometimes it's 22,000, sometimes it's 26,000, sometimes it's 28,000. But yeah, it was the second largest church in the nation. But you can't believe a word Paula says, and you can't really believe too much of what Randy says. So anyway, he finally said that they used to count the people that would sign the cards when they came for their book. They used to give away backpacks, and they used to give away food, which they even today, if they say, like, Maldonado, he's got this feeding program, and Paula, she brags about all the millions of pounds of food that they're distributing. They're getting the food for free. They're not paying for the food. For the most part, the food is being donated by Farmers for Families and these other organizations that are donating the food, and they're getting grants. And so they're giving away free food, and then she's asking for volunteers. Of course, she's making over $1 million a year there at the church, but and probably collecting money because people think she's buying food to feed these 100 million pounds of food or whatever she's giving away. She never tells people she's not buying the food. She makes them think that she's buying it. But she says, we're distributing. Yeah, they're distributing donated items. So tell people the truth where you're getting the food. Don't make people think that your Mother Teresa over there buying millions of pounds of food and you're doing all these good deeds. But they got it going on. I think Rod Parsley's doing it. I know Jim Baker was doing it. And there's nothing wrong with feeding people. Amen to that. But they're collecting money because people think that they have these feeding programs, and they're asking for volunteers to distribute the food and to take the food off of the trucks, and they're taking in millions. But if you ever run into Paula and you can have a word with her, if you can get through her bodyguards or whoever, and say, hey, Paula, hey, Guillermo, hey, Rod Parsley, could you tell me how much money do you actually spend buying food to feed the poor? I would love to hear the answer to that question if someone would present it. But they have all kinds of schemes going on, especially if it's going to mean donations. And of course, Maldonado, he loves donations. Yeah, he loves donations. He can't stop himself. He had Paula White. I mean, he has Paula there at his church quite a bit, but he had her there in January doing her first fruit scam, and convincing people that they had to run up to the front there with their first fruits offering, because if they didn't give God, and I don't know how they funnel it to God. I'm still trying to figure that one out. It's like, I'm bringing my offering up to Paula or Guillermo, and I'm putting it in their hand, and somehow it's getting up to God, and then I don't know what God does with it once he gets it up there. Oh, I know what he does. Then, according to them, he opens up the windows of heaven, and then he pours you out a blessing, so then he rains it down from the sky. And so, yeah. But that's another question to ask. If you're ever close enough to either Paul or Guillermo, ask them exactly how God gets the money. I would be very curious to hear what they have to say, because God's not getting it. Paul is getting it, and she's taking in millions. And Guillermo, obviously he's getting it because his wife claims that his estate is worth $120 million. Oh, my word. Whoa. I'm telling you. It's very profitable to be a pastor, isn't it? It's very profitable. Anyway, here is Maldonado. Now, he's going to tell you that there's going to be a wealth transfer. This is another big one that they love, is the wealth transfer.
Prophet Tracy, there's people watching, asking questions. When we'll see, are we going to see in this new decade, we're going to see the end, the finances to the church? In other words, people are asking, will we see the end, the wealth transfer to the church in this decade? What are you saying?
Absolutely, Apostle.
Worship.
God showed me that there's going to be a transfer like never before, because one of the things that they have failed to realize is it was at the feet of the apostles. They were dedicating lands, properties. In order for us to get back to understand the benefits of wealth, God get it to us, he's got to get it through us. He don't got no problem getting it to us, but can he get it through us? So in this apostolic hour, God is going to bring a transfer of wealth and bring people out of a Lodabar depression and bring them to a financial stability and entrepreneurship, millionaires, blessing. This is a time that is critical. Three of the components, Acts chapter 10, Cornelius deals with three components, prayer and fasting and giving. Giving is essential to your relationship with God. It enhances your worship before God. Because when you can realize that nothing can possess you, your possession don't possess you, then you can in turn release it, help advance apostolic churches like this one. So, Apostle, what we need to recognize and understand that people are hurting financially. You know, they need healing in their bodies, but they're hurting financially, and they don't know where to run to. Their pension week by week, or their checks is not enough, or their income's not enough. It takes God to bring a supernatural harvest to your finances, but there's biblical principles. We've got to get back to a place where you honor tithing again. Tithing is not being honored in any churches. The majority of tithing, believe it or not, is 90% of the churches in whole that people don't tithe anymore. Statistic teaches that. But God's going to bring a financial stability back to the church to help finance this last apostolic move of God. I've seen it in a dream.
In this decade, that wealth transfer coming into the church. Let's be ready. There's great expectation. Great expectation. There's a lot of people. We almost have 5,000 connections. YouTube, Facebook. More people are connecting right now in the website. There's a lot of people in the website. If you just turn now, we are in the prophetic perspective. How God see things for the next decade. We prophesying here to the world. We prophesying to Israel. We prophesying to personal prophecy to people. There's a lot of people right now. In other words, we see 91 nations.
Yeah. Well, they're worried about their finances. You better worry about it. If you're hanging around with those two, yeah, you better worry about your finances. And they talk about the wealth transfer. Yeah, the wealth transfer out of your bank account into their bank account. That's the wealth transfer. the supernatural wealth transfer. Well, it doesn't happen that way. Look, God is not going to give you more than you can handle. I don't care how much money you slap down on the altar, how much tens of millions of dollars you give away to these snakes in the grass there. God's not going to give you more than you can handle. He's just not going to do it. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you what you need. And it's up to him how he decides to bless you. But usually he blesses you through other people. That's how he does it. He doesn't rain money down from the sky. Or he gives you a good job with good pay, good career opportunities, or he gives you business ideas. There's practical ways that God blesses you. But as far as smacking some money down on an altar and giving it to some hustler there, that's not the way to get supernatural debt cancellation and supernatural wealth transfers. And they're such liars, honest. They don't mind lying on God. And then he's going to wonder why God's going to judge him. Yeah, God's going to judge you, Mr. Maldonado. Yeah, he's going to judge you. Yeah, because he wants to know how come you supposedly have $120 million in assets when you're a pastor of a church. He's going to want to know about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, here's Paula White now. Despicable Paula over there at Maldonado's, conning people over there. He not only had her back in January, then he had her back again in February for another con job over there.
We don't have a biblical understanding of repenting.
Es decir, no tenemos un entendimiento bíblico de lo que es el arrepentimiento.
Not, I'm sorry.
No es decir lo siento.
It's I make a decision.
Es decir, tomo la decisión.
To change my mind.
De cambiar mi mentalidad.
To change my direction.
De cambiar mi dirección.
Right now.
Ahora mismo.
Every vow you've ever made.
Todo voto que jamás haya hecho usted.
And not fulfilled.
Y que no haya cumplido.
And you have the ability to do it.
Cuando tiene la habilidad de hacer.
Write a check out right now and bring it up.
Ahora mismo, emite un cheque y tráigalo acá.
You say, why?
Y usted me dice, ¿por qué debo hacerlo?
Because you're stuck.
Porque usted está estancado.
And all you're going to hear.
Y lo único que va a oír.
Is death and crying.
Es muerte y llanto.
Because God.
Porque Dios.
Will never.
Nunca.
Move past.
Va a moverse más allá.
Your last act of disobedience.
De su último acto de desobediencia.
Every instruction.
Toda instrucción.
That you did not obey.
Que usted no obedeció.
Every time God woke you up.
Cada vez que Dios a usted lo levantó.
And told you.
Y le dijo.
Do this, do that.
Haz esto, haz aquello.
And you didn't do it.
Pero usted no lo hizo.
Repent.
Arrepiéntase.
Bring him an oblation right now.
Tráigale una ofrenda ahora.
An oblation is a burnt offering.
Una ofrenda de holocausto.
It means to meet God at the altar.
¿Qué significa tener un encuentro con Dios en el altar?
Why do you have to meet him at the altar with the sacrifice?
Porque debe encontrarse con él en el altar y con un sacrificio.
Because until the fire of God touches your sacrifice.
Porque hasta que el fuego de Dios no toque su sacrificio.
An oblation.
Una ofrenda, un holocausto.
Is what becomes.
Es aquello que se convierte.
Fine flour.
En una harina fina.
From the processing.
Por el proceso que
of
pasa.
Of wheat.
Que inicialmente pasó el
trigo. They aren't hearing me.
No me están oyendo.
It's got to be sifted.
Si Dios dice.
Got to go through process.
Tiene que ser zarandeado pasar proceso.
There's no fire.
No hay fuego.
Without a burnt offering.
Sin una un holocausto, una ofrenda que se quema.
Quickly move. Bring
rápido,
it up.
Mueva. Venga, bring it pase. Up. Pase con su ofrenda rápido.
All the ministers to come line up.
Y le pido a todos los efesios que pasen aquí.
Bring up an oblation because I'm going to start ministering.
Traiga
I have been ministering.
Holocausto.
Lift up your hands and worship God.
Voy a seguir
God.
Ministrando. Y levante su mano.
Lift up your hands.
Levante su mano y adore a Dios.
Worship the Lord.
Adore al Señor.
Every single person.
Toda persona.
Somebody's to give $1 million right now.
Alguien debe dar un millón
Somebody's
de dólares
to give $10,000 right now.
Dólares
Text to give online.
Dele por texto.
Text.
Por texto.
text to give online right now, 58782.
Envíelo al 5.
Give online at kingjesus.org right now. Give by phone, call 305-382-3171 right now.
Llame al 305-382-3171.
If thou bring an oblation of a meat offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes and fine flour mingled with oil. You're going to be processed wheat with anointing,
procesado
with oil,
con
or unleavened wafers anointed with oil.
Para traer esa ofrenda al
An
Señor
oblation
sin levadura.
Is something brought to the altar.
Es algo que es acepto y se trae al altar.
To present something at the altar.
Es presentar algo en el altar.
It is something offered to God.
Algo que se ofrece a
as
Dios
an act of worship.
Como un acto de
right
oración.
Now.
Tráigalo ahora.
Text that number.
Envíe el texto ahora.
Call that phone line.
Llame a ese número telefónico.
Go to
ElReyJesus.org.
The altar is always a place of sacrifice.
El altar siempre es lugar de
and surrender.
Un lugar de entrega.
Where the character of Christ is formed in us.
Donde se forma el carácter de Cristo en nosotros.
It is what the wafer
es porque
and the unleavened cake
y esos panes sin
the
levadura
fine flour have been through.
Lo que ha pasado.
It's the sifting process.
Es ese proceso de zarandeo
that makes
que pasó.
Them worship worthy.
Eso es lo que los hace digno de presentar como adoración.
Wafer.
Dios pide esa ofrenda
to make fine flour.
Para hacer una harina fina de ella.
You don't grow fine flour.
Usted no puede buscar esa harina.
It comes from wheat that's been processed.
Eso no lo encuentra solo, sino que
it
viene de trigo.
With a seed in the soil.
Que fue procesado, que comenzó como semilla en la
give
tierra.
God a seed to work with right now.
Dele a Dios una semilla
give
con la
God
cual pueda
a
trabajar.
Seed to work with right now.
Dele a Dios una semilla para que
it'll
pueda
grow
trabajar.
To be a stalk of wheat.
Va a crecer y convertirse en trigo.
It'll get cut down.
Luego será cortado.
At harvest.
En la cosecha.
That's the pruning.
Ese es el
that's the purging.
Ese es cuando es purgado.
It'll get bundled.
Va a ser
with other stalks.
Con otras
that's
cabezas.
The unity.
Esa es unidad.
Then it'll be thrown onto a wagon.
Y entonces se va a poner en
and
un
taken vagón. To the threshing floor.
Se va a llevar a otro
and
lugar.
That's where it gets beat.
Allí es donde lo golpea.
With a stick.
Donde le dan con un
that
palo.
Separates the seed.
Para separar
from
su semilla. De su cabeza.
And it goes to the mill house.
Y entonces va a otro
and it gets
lugar.
Crushed.
Donde allí
you say, why have I been crushed?
Procesado se pregunta por qué
God's
tanto.
Getting ready
porque Dios
to
que
take
se prepara
you into the holy holies.
Para llevarlo.
She's got every kind of a con game. I'm telling you, she just makes stuff up as she goes along. We just read that scripture before in Matthew about God doesn't care about your burnt offerings and your sacrifices if you don't love people and you don't tell people the truth. God doesn't want your burnt offerings and your sacrifices. And anyway, God, there's no place in the Bible, there's not. If you can prove it to me, you prove it to me, that a seed is ever money, because it's not. A seed money has no life in it. You can go put 25 cent coin in the ground or a dollar bill, and I guarantee you it's not going to sprout. When the Bible was talking about seeds, it's talking about something that has life in it. So we don't sell money to God, and then we have to put, like she's saying, is that you have to give him something to work with. Well, I don't ever remember Jesus, when he walked the earth, asking people for money so he had something to work with, then he can do miracles for them. So that it's a lie. They're lying. And I wouldn't be lying about Jesus if I was you. I wouldn't be playing that game. Proverbs 10:9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. So that's about what's happening over there to Maldonado. It's going to be known. Proverbs 28:6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Yeah. The integrity, Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Well, you speak with perverse tongue over there. Yeah. Proverbs 19:1. I don't think Paula or Maldonado read Proverbs. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Yeah. I don't think they read these scriptures. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but he that deal truly are his delight. Yeah. Proverbs 21:3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. It's like, hold on to your money over there. You know, the people in Miami, hold on, because Paula and Guillermo, they'll take everything you have. Yeah. Here's another pitiful part of that sermon, or so-called sermon anyway, because anytime Paula preaches, it always, and him too, Maldonado, anytime they preach, it always goes back to the end, to the offering. There's always an offering involved, so they can expand on scripture for an hour or 2 hours, but then it all builds up to get you to empty out your wallet.
Mayor comes to us.
Se nos acerca el alcalde.
And said, we can't bring business into Tampa.
Y nos dicen, no podemos lograr que entren los
negocios a
Tampa.
Because there's 3,000 adults. Mayor comes to us.
Se nos acerca el alcalde.
And said, we can't bring business into Tampa.
Y nos dicen, no podemos lograr que entren los
negocios
a Tampa.
Because there's 3,000 adult zones.
Porque hay tres. Hay tantas zonas aquí de adultos.
They were zoned for pornography, adult centers.
Que son centros de adultos. En otras palabras, zonas para prostitución y cosas de esa índole.
So, so we did. We went and put pressure.
Entonces nosotros fuimos allá a presionarlos.
On a city council member.
A los concejales de la ciudad.
He shifted his vote.
Y él cambió su voto.
They started taking him down. We went to the Supreme Court with a 6-foot ban on lap dances.
Y teníamos también.
We told some, Daddy, don't go in there.
Que decía, papá, no entres allí.
Scorn porn.
Decíamos, pornografía fea, no pase.
Tampa was a stronghold.
Tampa era una fortaleza.
For pornography.
Para la pornografía en aquel entonces.
On January 3rd, 2003.
El tercero de enero del 2003.
Or 13th, excuse me. FBI, criminal IRS.
La FBI.
I'd go through a 3-year criminal IRS investigation.
IRS, de 3 años.
I'd be cleared in 6 months.
Y en 6 meses me dicen, todo aquí está en orden.
I think 3 FBI raids in my life.
Y me han
a Senate inquiry.
Tuve una cuestión del Senado que me mandaron a investigar.
Secret Service.
La seguridad secreta vino a ver.
I think everything except for the CIA.
Creo que todo el mundo me investigó.
But they tell me if the CIA investigates you.
CIA que aquí si te investigan. Significa si aquí lo investigan.
Are you Paula?
Y usted diría, ¿y por qué tanto como usted?
Their God,
porque los que conocen a su Dios
strong.
Se paran firmes.
You didn't hear me.
Pero no me oyó lo que le dije.
I didn't fall down and go, why me, God?
Yo no me
derrumbé. But we've done everything right.
¿Por qué, Dios, si todo hemos hecho bien? ¿Por qué me pasa a mí, Dios?
Those who know their God.
No, porque los que conocen a su
They'll
Dios
stand strong.
Se paran firmes.
So if you think
entonces, si usted,
somebody writing an article about me,
que el que alguien escribe un artículo feo de mi
bothers
persona,
me,
que eso a mí me va a molestar.
You've never gone through anything.
Es que usted mismo nunca ha pasado nada.
You haven't been processed.
Es que a usted no le han procesado.
Because you still care more about man's opinion.
Porque a usted lo que le importa más la opinión
del
hombre.
About God's judgment.
De lo que le importa saber cuál es el juicio de Dios.
And if your name isn't God.
Y si el nombre suyo no es Dios.
Your opinion doesn't matter.
Entonces su opinión no importa.
And your approval isn't needed.
Y no hace falta su voto tampoco.
I don't talk people out of altar calls often.
Yo no le impido a la gente que pase al altar.
One.
Pero esta vez quiero decir esto.
Because if I call you up for the fire God,
si yo le llamo al altar para que pase para recibir el fuego de Dios,
and after sitting under days of anointing like this,
y después de usted estar sentado varios días bajo una unción como
there's
esta,
been no change in your checkbook.
En su chequera no hubo cambio.
No change in your heart.
No hubo cambio en su corazón.
No change in your mind.
No hubo cambios en su mente.
That fire will kill you.
Ese fuego lo que va a hacer es matarlo.
If in 3 days there hasn't been some kind of drastic change in you, from yesterday morning,
desde ayer en la mañana,
from now,
ya no ha existido,
I mean drastic.
Un cambio drástico, y mire que le digo drástico.
They make fun of me, Apostle.
Usted sabe
que
se burlan.
Because I talk about how I don't even know if you laid hands on me. I don't know what happened.
Yo no sé quién fue. Usted me
they go, she says she went to the throne of God. Yeah, I did.
Escribieron. Ella dice que fue
right
el trono
over there.
De Dios. Sí, yo fui y estaba parada allí cuando me pasó.
I don't even know how long I was out. I have no idea how I got home.
Ni me acuerdo cómo llegué a la casa.
I don't know how I got back
tiempo.
To the hotel.
Estuve allí en el suelo ni cómo llegamos al hotel. No
all
sé.
I know is my body was convulsing so hard. The next day it felt like I'd been in a heavyweight fight.
Pero sí me sentía el otro día que el cuerpo me temblaba como si estuve
God
en una lucha inmensa.
Things.
Dios me mostró
all
cuatro cosas.
Of them have come to pass.
Y las cuatro cosas ya se cumplieron.
He showed me the coronavirus before there was a coronavirus.
Me mostró el coronavirus antes de que existiera.
He showed me President Trump before anything went down with him.
Me mostró qué iba a pasar con el presidente Trump.
He showed me something with China.
Me mostró algo con la China.
And he showed me something with my granddaughter.
Y me mostró algo con mi.
I don't know. Was it LSD or what? She went to the throne room. And she said, we already talked about that before, but here she said, yeah, people are saying I didn't go, but I went to the throne. And apparently it happened there at Maldonado's church as she was there. And God took her up to the throne room. And he told her about the coronavirus. I don't ever remember her. I don't ever remember her warning anybody about the coronavirus. Well, but God told her. Yeah, God told her about the coronavirus. Yeah, God told her. I don't think so. Paula, I don't know what you're smoking. I don't know. But no, Paula, you didn't go to any throne room. I don't know what throne room you went to or what you were hallucinating on. But you know, God Almighty himself never took you up to the throne room to tell you about the coronavirus and to tell you about Donald Trump and to tell you about your granddaughter and to tell you about China. No, that wasn't God, because if it was true, and I don't believe it for one minute, God would say to you, stop scamming people and stop your lying over there and get a job and earn an honest living and stop scamming people so that you can accumulate wealth. That's what he would tell you. Stop scamming my people. That's what he would say. Repent. He wouldn't be telling you anything because, first of all, he can't trust you. And he would say to you, depart from me. I never knew you. Because you may disagree with me, and that's fine. But I can't see anybody that says that they're a Christian and minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're scamming people on a continual basis with no repentance, taking advantage of hurting people. How could you do it? How could you take advantage of somebody that's hurting? And they're coming to you for help and for guidance, and they're coming to you to teach them about the Bible, and you're scamming them. You're not a Christian. And it's time that we separate these wolves from the sheep and say we've had enough. And so that's in bringing this thing to a close here. Guillermo, you can email me. I would be happy to talk to you if you like. You can email me, susan@propheticnews.com. And we can have a chat if you like. This is an open letter to you, basically. This program is, I hope that you will repent and turn from your wicked ways, because you've been exposed now and there's no turning back. No, there's no turning back from this. So it's up to you now. It's up to you to repent and turn your life over to Jesus and try to stay on the straight and narrow over there. Because no matter what, look, the straight and narrow is a lot better than the wide road of destruction. Yeah, straight and narrow is just fine with me and to all the other brethren out there that love the Lord and love his people. I just don't understand how people get wrapped up in this stuff, and people set you free. And no, Maldonado's plantation has no color at all, because there's all different kinds of people there at his church that he enslaves with his false teachings and his false promises of wealth. And you can see some of these videos on YouTube. These people are giddy when he tells them to repeat after him, I'm going to be prosperous and wealthy, and they're giddy with it. Well, God's a loving Heavenly Father, and He wants to take care of us. There's no doubt about that. But we have to do it His way. And we can't do it our way, because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I wouldn't want to be God smacking me around and exposing all these things to the world that will be exposed. We remember what happened with Jimmy Swaggart, and we remember what happened with Jim Baker back in the 1980s when all this stuff was coming out. And I'm sure God sent prophets to them, real prophets, with warnings about you better shape up over there. And they didn't heed the warnings. And then what did God do? He exposed everything publicly, and it was a mess. It was very hurtful to the body of Christ. All of us were hurt by it. And we're going to see that now more and more as the day approaches here for the Lord's return. So stay in the Word of God. Don't believe these lying fools. Trust God. Do things the Lord's way. Do things honestly. Walk in your integrity. And treat people the way you want to be treated. And that's the way you get points with God. He knows everything you're doing anyway. I don't know what these people think they're hiding, He's not hiding anything from God, because He knows all about it. And I wouldn't want to be them. I could care less about having $120 million, and I don't have a relationship with the Lord. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Nothing. It doesn't profit you anything. Why? So you can brag. So then you can brag and say, look at me, and look at all the possessions I have, when you didn't get it honestly. Nobody should care about anybody else's wealth if they earned it honestly. It's nobody's business. If God blessed you in a business or an inheritance or whatever, that's nobody's business, as long as you got the money honestly. But when you're ripping people off and then you're bragging about your wealth, that's some shaky ground you're standing on then. Shaky ground. But it's big business. Religion is big business. And power, if you study the cults or you look at how these cults operate, it's about power, it's about money, it's about fame, it's about control. And he has these kind of things too, where you have to be faithful to his church, and you can't say things about God's anointed, don't touch God's anointed, of course, that scripture means don't smack them around. It doesn't mean don't expose them, because, of course, in the Old Testament, especially, they were exposed false prophets, and they were in the New Testament, too. So we call out heresy. We call out error. And that's what the Bible says to do. So, unless you're not reading your Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, then you wouldn't know that. But don't be afraid to stand up for the truth, because if you do that, you're not going to be deceived. There's enough deception that we have to deal with now. This is a crazy, mixed up world that we're living in. But remember, the one thing that will protect you from this present evil world is a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Him. because Jesus is real. And almost everybody knows the story of Jesus dying on the cross and ascending into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And Jesus came to earth and he walked the earth for 33 years and he died for your sins. So you wouldn't have to die in your sins because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And some people say, well, I'm a good person. What did I do to sin? We've all sinned. Otherwise, Jesus didn't need to come and die for our sins if there was no sinners on the earth. We all sinned, and we need a Savior. And he is the Savior. He is the Savior. He's the only one that can give you love, real love, not carnal love, but real love, pure love. And he'll give you peace, because I have peace. No matter what's going on, I have peace. Because I know the Prince of Peace. And I have joy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So turn your life over to Jesus today. And let me know how happy you are. Because you're going to be so happy. Those scales are going to fall off of your eyes. And you'll be a new creation. And old things will pass away. And all things will become new. You won't have to go searching for God anymore. You won't. Anyway, I want to thank everybody that stopped by today. In the chat room, we have Brother Vince from Truth Sharks on Blog Talk Radio. And we have Shannon and Rick. And a new person there. But anyway, thanks everybody for stopping by in the chat room. And all our listeners around the world, a big hello to our listeners in the United Kingdom, Canada, South Africa, Australia, and the other countries around the world. Thank you everybody for listening. And stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Stay in his word so you're not deceived in this present evil day. And God bless you. And thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.